lower your expectations, and put on your comfy pants. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's time for the Mediocrities Podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast, the only show that lets you crawl inside another human being's mind, make a huge mess, and blame it on your little brother. I am your host, Mediocrities. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Something new. I'm feeling sad today. I mean, real sad. And part of it is because I'm older. It's not my birthday. I just feel old today. I don't feel healthy. I'm tired. I'm not recovering like I used to. Just kind of down today. Just a lot going on in my mind, my heart. I just drained. But I just realized that, you know, I walk through my house and I look at the pictures of my kids and just realize how fast they've grown up. I realize, you know, I look at their faces and I can see their mother. I can see myself in their, you know, their facial features. I can remember them being little bitty babies and holding them in the hospital and, you know, watching them grow up. And I've got two kids that are older and out of the house now and still have young kids in the house and things in between. Just, we got kids across the spectrum, but it's just gone so fast. And I don't know. I tell you, one of these days I'm going to do probably a Mind of Mediocrities just to talk about the emotional change that's kind of taken place in my life in the last 13 years. Just some, I don't know. I used to not be quite so sentimental or emotional about things, but now that I've got these emotions, it's, do you ever see the Star Trek movie? I think it's Generations, where Geordi has the emotion chip and puts it in Data, and Data freaks out. Is that Generations? I don't remember. I don't know my next generation Star Trek movies that very well, but anyway, he kind of freaks out because he's kind of, you know, he's an android. He doesn't know a lot of stuff and a lot of emotions. And when he gets the emotions, he can't handle it. And so, you know, I tend to feel that way sometimes. I'm not an android. I'm actually a human being, but I tend to approach things more like a Data character, where I want to look at everything from the logical side. But sometimes the things that happen in our lives just aren't logical. You know, our emotions, we feel things, and that's where I'm at today. Just, I'm overwhelmed with feelings about my kids, feelings about my life, about work, about the future, my health. Just, you know, it's a lot. And to make it even worse, traffic sucked this morning. So I'm not trying to, I'm not going to sit here and weep for you guys. I'm just, that's what's new. That's what's new. Just that it dawned on me today, and it has more often than just today, but everything just goes so fast. It just makes me want to squeeze my children, hug my children, you know, cause you never know. Today might be the last day I see them. Today may be the it's definitely the last time that I'll see them at this moment, at this age, today, right? And before I know it, my kids are going to be going to college. They're going to be graduating college, getting careers, raising families, you know, making, you know, just, it's a lot. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's pray a Hail Mary for parents that are watching their kids grow up way too fast. And let's pray that God will give them wisdom and peace, that he knows exactly what's going on and that he is not unaware and that he cares. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, it is time to journey inside the mind of mediocrities. It's not always pretty, but it is always real. So join me now, will you? Inside the mind of mediocrities. So the mind of mediocrities, you know, a little different angle today. You know, when I do my thinking, usually things revolve around athletics. That's just something that has always been a part of my life, something that I've always paid attention to. And I tend to draw a lot of illustrations from athletics. And the thing that's got me thinking now is wrestling. It is my favorite sport. It is the sport of kings. It is the sport of champions. It's the world's oldest sport. It's in the Bible. And, you know, I don't think they were having, well, you know, they probably were having WWF, WWE style wrestling back then. I'm sure the Romans had it. But even before then, you know, wrestling was just a part of life. And so it's rich for illustrations. But, you know, I was thinking about wrestling and you know, this is the time where kids are going to wrestling camps, off-season wrestling camps. They're doing some tournaments in the summer, but you know, this is the time where a lot of guys that normally do folk style wrestling are doing Greco or freestyle or going to camp or hitting the weights real hard, trying to do some off-season training. And the reason why we do that as wrestlers is because we have to prepare for competition. You know, there has to be time for preparation, and there are periods that are kind of dead periods where coaches can't coach you. So you have to be doing some work on your own. That's why you go to things like camps. That's why you go to the weight room and you hit the weights hard, because there's not as much time to do that during the regular season. Now, I say we as though I'm still competing. I don't compete anymore as a wrestler, but I'll tell you what, you ask any person that's wrestled before, once you've wrestled, you're a wrestler. And you can identify with anybody else that struggled or anybody else that's wrestling. And when you go to a match, I don't know how to explain it, except that you just feel something. You just, like, you could get out there and do it. And I know, I mean, and speaking also as a coach, former coach, I'm retired from coaching, but as a guy that used to coach, you want to get back out there and even just to be at the mat and coaching, because you, once you've experienced it, you see things in a different way, you know. But remembering just the way that wrestling matches go. And I'm thinking back to the very first match that I ever had and how it spiraled into complete disaster. You know, I was a brand new wrestler. I'd never wrestled before. I'd gone through the off season stuff, the preseason conditioning, and that wasn't really a problem because I, you know, had run cross country and I'd done track and things, and I was in pretty good shape. I wasn't very strong, and they were going to have to fix that, but I had good endurance, had a good frame, and I basically was thrown to the wolves for my first match, just because our regular guy didn't make weight. And so they throw me out there, and I didn't know who I was wrestling, but my coach did. And it was a state runner-up. A state runner-up, and this was his first varsity match of the season, and he was going to make a statement. And he made the statement all over my face. It was not pretty. That dude manhandled me. And I knew, you know, for a first-year guy, and wrestlers, you know this, first-year guys know first-year stuff. You know, I knew balance, I knew stance, I knew sit-ups, I knew a couple of takedowns, know, a couple of defensive postures, you know, some escapes, one pinning combination, and that was it. And so things were going okay for about 15, 20 seconds. And then he decided that he was ready to destroy me, and he began to do so. So the very first thing I know, he had snatched me on a double leg takedown. So he grabbed both my legs. I was on my way down to the mat, and I knew, because I'd learned, that I need to belly down, right? I knew that I was going down. I need to make sure that I don't give up the pin. So I turned to my stomach, and I kind of got halfway there and kind of set myself up. Long story short, he had me in close situation where I was going to walk myself into a headlock because I didn't know what I was doing. And no matter what I did, it seemed like I was playing right into his hands, and things would get worse. And I would try to adjust, and it would get worse. And then once I got into the headlock, I'm trying to fight the headlock. But if you've been in a headlock, you realize you're already out of position. There's not a whole lot you can do. Now, you can try, but I didn't know all the little tips and the tricks. And so I was trying to bridge, to keep my scapula from hitting the mat. You know, once your scapula are on the mat, then the ref can call a pin. And, you know, I was fighting, but I think probably to the viewer, I probably look more like a fish on the shore, just flopping and gasping, trying to figure it out. And I thought I was going to die, but things just spiraled. They just got worse and worse and worse. And any wrestler can probably tell you about those matches where things just, you make one wrong move and then something else bad happens, and you try to adjust and you try to get out, and then something else bad happens, and then something else bad happens, and something else bad happens. I call that the spiral of death. And the only thing that stops the spiral of death is death. In wrestling, it would be a pinfall, or having the presence of mind to stop, to be able to catch yourself and to have that presence of mind of where you are. You'll hear coaches yelling that at their wrestlers. And you know, you think back to the time when you were competing, you don't hear what they're saying. You're trying to think. But if it's not second nature to you, if it's not ingrained habit, you don't have time to think because all the bad things are happening. So it reminds me, it takes me back to preparation. Everything that I trained for as a wrestler was to prepare me for competition. Everything that I practiced, every move that I drilled was to prepare me for competition and for facing an opponent in every circumstance that I might encounter in a match, whether it was head throws, whether it was double leg attack, single leg attack, ankle picks, low singles, outside single, sweep single. How do you counter those things? You have certain counters for every offense, and then you have to have your own offense. The more you know, the more attacks and defenses that you have in your repertoire that you know how to repeat and you can repeat accurately, then when the circumstance presents itself, you act. You don't even have to really concentrate on it. You just do it. And if you don't, if you become unaware, you don't know where you are on the mat, you don't know what you're supposed to do next, things will just get worse and worse and worse, and you're flailing, and you're struggling, and you're spiraling. You've got to be able to put the brakes on. You've got to be able to get back in the present. And that's hard to do in the heat of the moment, and that's why preparation is so important. You know, gosh, I still remember that match and walking off the mat. And I think I went a minute 40, minute 20, minute 40. I can't remember the exact numbers. I know it was over a minute, probably not a minute 40, because that would have been almost the end of the first period. He pinned me in the first period. It's a 2-minute period. And I just remember walking off and looking at coach, and he's looking at me kind of laughing and shaking his head. because he knew I was a sacrificial lamb being offered up to the wrestling gods. He didn't expect me to win, but he did expect me to get out there and give my best effort. I can't say that I did, because I seem to have gone out too fast. The defenses that he had shown me, I didn't utilize, and I needed more practice. So I wonder how often we face that in other things. But today was kind of a spiral for me. Just seems like one thing went wrong after another, and we all have days like that. And you know, maybe you had a bad day on the road, idiot drivers going 10 miles under the speed limit, and that you're in a line of cars that are doing that, and it's just one idiot in front, but he's ruining it for everybody else. Maybe you got two lanes of those idiots. That's what I had today. Then you're in a bad mood. You get into work, and maybe you spill coffee because you're in a hurry, and you slosh coffee, and oh crap. Then you get back to your desk, and you're trying to check some emails, and you realize that you didn't respond to something because you were in a hurry, or you hit send before you meant to hit send, or you're short with someone. You leave a snarky response in an email, and that, you know, just stuff like that comes back to haunt you, you know? And then you're in a bad mood because you realize the snarky email was a bad way to go, but you've already hit send, and you try to hit recall, but it's too late. And then someone calls you and say, "Hey dude, what's your problem?" And you get defensive, and then you take lunch and you realize that you forgot to put your lunch in the refrigerator, so some of it's not cold. You know, it could be anything. Then you get home and you're in a bad mood, and you got stuff that you're supposed to do when you get home, and you're not in a good mood. You don't want to do it. And someone says something about what you're doing, and you snap back. And then now they're in a bad mood, and maybe they've already had a bad day. And you see where we go with this? And our postures become defensive, and we get defensive about the way that we're behaving because we've had a bad day. And why can't someone just give us a little bit of a break? And they're saying the same thing because they've had a bad day, and it gets worse, and it goes into the night. And maybe you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe they're holding unforgiveness in their heart, and that stretches into the next day, or the next day, or the next day. This happens more often than not in the lives of the people around us. Maybe it's happened to you. I know it's happened to me before. Now, my day didn't spiral quite like that, but it could happen. And think of the damage that we leave in our wake when we just need to stop. Sometimes things happen so fast though, you know. The only way that we can fix this, I think, I've learned, at least in my own life, is preparation. Preparation, drilling, learning. I said before, I'm kind of a cerebral person. I tend to think down the road a few things, which was why I was a fairly good wrestler, because I chained moves together. I wasn't just thinking of what do I do now. I was thinking of, I'll do this, then this, then this, then this, then this. And if he does this at move B, then I've already got C, D, E, and F lined up. I was good at chaining moves together. And that's the way I think. That's the way I try to handle situations. Well, you know, you can what if yourself to death too. You know that, right? You can't think and plan for every eventuality, but you can plan for the major situations in your life. You know, what do we do when a stressful situation comes up? What do we do when someone is rude to us? How do we respond when we come to the realization that we're at fault? Those are kind of big things that play themselves out. Maybe the angle is slightly different, but when you realize you've done wrong, it doesn't really matter if you spilled paint or if you said something that you shouldn't have said. The result's still going to be the same in principle. We need to own up to our mistake. We need to apologize to whoever we need to apologize to, and then we need to make it right, you know? And that's hard to do in the moment. And if you're thinking about what I'm supposed to do next, may not happen. But the more we drill it, the more we practice, the more we have a pathway in mind, a game plan, a strategy for how we handle those principles, that's the way that we keep from spiral out of control. And when we feel ourselves spiraling, the best thing that we can do is just stop. Just stop. If we can, at least stop in our minds, figure out where we are, figure out what's going on around us. You know, one therapist had kind of recommended to me in situations like that where I'm feeling overwhelmed, like a panic attack, and I've had several before. That seems to be a new thing, a recurring thing for me in the past few years. When I have that, it's a good time to kind of put myself in the present moment. And so in those times, I look to see what colors I see in front of me. And I say them in my head, maybe say them out loud if it's real bad. You know, what colors do I see right now? Are there any colors missing from, you know, from a regular spectrum, right? What shades do I see? How many shades of yellow do I see right now? How many shades of red do I see right now? And I pay attention to those things, and it brings me into the present. You know, how many different types of pen am I looking at right now? Things that bring me into the present moment. But when I realize where I am, and I capture myself and I bring myself back to where I'm supposed to be, then I can sometimes more clearly deal with the situation. But I think, you know, that's kind of for crisis. I want to, before I hit crisis, to know how I'm going to respond. I want to exercise virtue. I want to exercise patience, kindness. I want to choose joy over sadness. And feelings, I can't help how I feel, you know? We can't help how we feel. But I want to do the right thing in every situation. I want to not give in to despair. I want to not give in to sin when the temptation comes. And so the best way that I know to do that is just to have that preparation, have that game plan. So when a temptation comes for me to lose my temper, or to say something rude to somebody, then I want to already have a few nice things that I can say, or just be ready to apologize if I'm at fault and get a little quicker at that. You know, I don't need to apologize when I'm not at fault, but you know what? Sometimes there are some things that aren't worth arguing about. And the more I realize that, the faster I realize it the next time. Ross, why are we arguing about the kind of cheese that's on a cheeseburger? How is that important right now? That's not really important right now. Why am I arguing about that? You know, a little bit of presence of mind. But the solution seems to be multi-layered. And this is where I'm going to end the Mind of Mediocrities. We need practice moves. This is what I refer to when I'm talking about the virtues, our plans, our habits. You know, this is our preparation. We need to have practice moves. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we read in the scriptures about people that have made the same kind of mistakes that we make. Maybe their circumstances were slightly different, but they do the same things. We're selfish. We're rude. We're hateful. We hold grudges. We make bad choices, right? We don't trust God. We make ourselves out to be God. So we need to have some practice moves. We need to prepare by spending that time in prayer, spending that time in God's word, reviewing our day and figuring out how we're going to do better the next time those situations come our way. That's preparation. Then we need diligence to be aware and catch ourselves in those bad moves, right? So that's now. That's how we do things now. That's being aware of where we are, what's going on around us. Paying attention to body cues from watching other people, that body language, their movements, right? The tone of their voice. Are they agitated? Are they being defensive? And then trying to realize, did I play a part in that? If not, then maybe they're just having a bad day or dealing with something. And hey, let's back off a little bit. Let's give them a chance to vent. Let's give them a chance, you know. That's being present. That's what's going on now. But then also, we need humility to realize our mistakes fast and seek forgiveness fast. So that's kind of the post-match, post-event type activities, but it's something that we need to get better at. You know, I'm looking at what's going on with, you know, the bishops' meetings just kicked off, and there was argument even today about the agenda. You know, there are people that are walking into a situation where tensions are high. There's just a lot going on in our country right now. And so it's difficult for people sometimes when we get all worked up to kind of realize when we've overstepped our bounds, where we've said maybe something in a way that was not charitable. And I'm not saying that we don't need to speak the truth in love. We definitely do. But doing it in love, true humility, not arrogance, and certainly not from a vindictive spirit. But, you know, when we've done that, we need to admit it readily, confess, ask for forgiveness, seek reconciliation. And I think that's by practicing those things, preparation, awareness of the now, and reflection on the things that have happened. I think that's going to help set us up. Now I'm not saying that I've arrived. Gosh, no, nah, I still work on this every day, but these practices, remember how I told you before in previous episodes, how I do that nightly review of my day. This is what I do. This is part of my preparation and my post game wrap up, so that the next time I'm better in the now, I'm better in the present moment of handling these things. And I hope that it works for you too. Love to hear what you think. You can always reach out to me by hitting me up on a DM on the Twitter. I am Mediocrities Pod on Twitter. Or you can send an email to me at mediocritiespodcast@outlook.com. And I'll be sure to leave the email in the comments section. As always, don't forget to subscribe, leave me a review, give me some feedback. I love to hear what you think about the podcast in general, but I'm especially curious to hear what you think about this particular segment today, and what are your ways of preparing for your daily life, your situation? What's your routine? What's your prep work look like? How do you review your day? I'd love to hear it. All right, so time for something old. You know what I've been thinking about? Showbiz Pizza. Now, who remembers Showbiz Pizza? Now, if you've been to Chuck E. Cheese, you've basically been to Showbiz Pizza. And I've watched some documentaries, and I'm not really sure, because I've heard two different stories of how Showbiz and Chuck E. Cheese came into being. But I will tell you right now what I'm using is canon. Beyond my own memories of going to Showbiz, because I did grow up in the South and we didn't have Chuck E. Cheese for a long time. We had Showbiz. And it was a lot like what the older Chuck E. Cheese's had. There was an animatronic band that played, you know, but covers of music. And there was greasy pizza and beer for the parents, no beer for the kids, and sodas for us. And then arcades, where you could, you know, for me, it was, you know, we've talked about arcades before, was going and playing the latest video games. And the two Showbiz that I'm thinking of in particular had great arcades, loads of fun, lots of money wasted there. But I just miss it. I miss going to Showbiz. I miss the old janky pizza. I miss bringing my report cards, going to the arcade. But and some of my friends even had birthday parties there. So that was fun because, hey, free tokens, free greasy pizza, and getting to hang out. I never really cared much for the band, but there is a documentary. It's called The Rock-A-Fire Explosion. That was the name of the band. And so if you have Prime, I think it's still on Prime, The Rock-A-Fire Explosion. I know there's probably some bootlegs on YouTube. Don't do anything illegal. Don't. But I know that the Rock-A-Fire Explosion was on Prime. And it is a documentary about fandom of Showbiz Pizza and the band, the Rockafire Explosion. And I know you can YouTube a couple of these creators that have taken, they actually went and salvaged some equipment from the old Showbiz Pizza places and took the band, and they have learned to reprogram them to sing modern songs. So it's kind of fun. And I wish I could remember. It just went into my brain and out the other end that there was a music video. And I want to say it was in the 90s, maybe the early 2000s, a band actually had the Rockafire Explosion in their music video, singing some of the music. So it was kind of a cool video. I remember sitting with a friend kind of laughing about that. But the Rockafire Explosion kind of tells you about the origins of showbiz. Nolan Bushnell, who was president of Atari, started them. And had this plan for having arcades, which was, you know, kind of plays into his hand because Atari and developing, Atari was still developing arcade games, and just that whole thing, and watching how the company rose, but then with the video game crash, how things kind of went downhill. And then there was this metamorphosis where, like, the Chuck E. Cheese robots took over the showbiz robots. They were going to basically put showbiz out of business. And I don't know, it's you think conspiracy, but really it was the 80s, kind of a weird time. But I miss going to showbiz. I don't like going to Chuck E. Cheese. I don't like now where it's they don't have even the robots anymore. Now it's all video stuff and there's not really an arcade anymore. It's just those ticket games, which are basically quarter munchers, just to steal your hard work and money. The greasy pizza is still there. Yeah, still nasty. But every now and then I kind of get a craving for it. It's just bad pizza. But yeah, I miss showbiz. Check out that Rockafire Explosion documentary if you get a minute, because it got some characters in it. Yeah. So yeah, I would be curious to hear what you think about that one too, if you get a chance to check out the Rockafire Explosion documentary. But yeah, if you've been to showbiz, if you lived in the South, and they probably were in other places other than the South, but I didn't travel very much as a kid. Everywhere that I ever went was in the South. We were going to Myrtle Beach. We were going to Daytona Beach, going to Orlando. There were no Chuck E. Cheese's. There were Showbiz Pizzas. So in the places where we went, or, you know, if we went to the mountains somewhere, we'd find a showbiz. So that's what I miss. That's about something old, but it's still pretty freaking cool. So that's it. You know, I hope that you all have a good day wherever you happen to be. If you are that person going 10 miles under the speed limit, just speed up a little bit. And if you're not going to speed up, at least have the common courtesy to get in the slow lane so people can pass you. We got places to go. Got people to see. We're trying to go get some nasty pizza for our kids, you know? The new nasty pizza for me is Little Caesars. So, yeah, if the kids are hungry, want something fast, that's where I'm going. But it is nasty pizza. I don't like it. Hope you all have a great day. Thanks again. Bye.